When you think about legends in the sport of bass fishing, I guess the guy that started the legends process is Bobby Murray. And Bobby, you look at, you know, starting and winning the Bassmaster Classic, the first guy to ever do that. Nobody can ever say that they were the first guy except for Bobby Murray. And then the rest of it now along the line, you know, after 35-plus years, now everybody, it is a legendary thing to do is to win that Classic. You won it twice.
Well, you know, it's right, Terry. At the time, we didn't figure really what the win was worth, but through the years, it has really just laid a foundation for me to be in the tackle industry, do a number of TV shows on ESPN, the Outdoor Channel, and ESPN2, and to really make my living in what most people do for fun.
Let's reminisce if we can, okay? Back when you won the first Classic, you're down there, you're fishing at Lake Mead, I believe, and you're coming out and you're saying, okay, these guys I'm fishing against are pretty darn good, and now I'm going to get a chance to win this. What's going through your mind during that process?
Well, there's 24 anglers at that first, and the world's best at the time, and I was just wanting to make a good showing. I didn't want to come out here and be the last guy on the end of the day, but I never was in the lead till the last day. I stayed close every day, was in like seventh or eighth after the first day, and fourth, I think, after the second day, and was on a good pattern of fish, and just so happened the last day I caught 2 5-pounders, and of course Tom Mann ended up second place. Tom actually doubled what I caught in numbers, but I beat him by about 8 pounds. He was on a little fish pattern, and I was on a big fish pattern.
Well, let's reminisce about equipment. I know you represent Pradco and all their brands. Let's talk about equipment a little bit. You know, back in those days, heavy rods, you know, you're throwing crankbaits, you're doing those kind of things. It's really changed a lot, hasn't it?
Oh, the equipment that the anglers have today is so much advanced to what we had. I mean, we had basic bait casting, free spool bait casting reels, but, you know, fiberglass rods were the thing, not solid metal rods that they had only a decade earlier than that. Lures were starting to get, you know, really up and going. Our companies like Rebel and Whopper Stopper and Bomber were really starting to come along, and truly fishing was really on a boom because all across the country there was new reservoirs being built all across the country, and that's what really started the bass boom. People don't realize that till about the late 50s we had no major impoundments across this country, and when all the impoundments were built all across the country, bass fishing exploded. And by the mid-60s to late 60s, it was really starting to gather steam. And then when the professional circuit, a really strong professional circuit like BASS, first came out and had the first world's champion, recognized world's championship, then fishing was here to stay.
Well, you look back, 1968, I believe, is when bass kind of started, but you had a few years up to 71 when you won that there really wasn't a Bassmaster Classic. There was other events that you guys had, team events, some of those kind of things, but in 1971, that was the first Classic.
That's right. From 68 to 71, we had an Angler of the Year, the guy that won the most prize money during the regular 6 tournaments of the year. But in 71... Ray decided that they wanted a really test of the best. Let's see who really the number one guy when they all go head up, the 24 best anglers in the country. And they started putting us on an airplane, flying us to a mystery designation, and really seeing who the best angler was at that particular time. It's not saying that, you know, I was any better angler than Bill Dance or Roland or Tom Mann. But on that given time, on that body of water, I was the best there was, and it's really kind of a unique concept, and it's grown to be probably the biggest freshwater fishing event in the world is the Bassmasters Classic.
I got to ask you, you're on that airplane. Of course, you don't know where you're going. You guys had to be cutting up and having a good time. Everybody's guessing about where you're going, some of those kind of things.
Oh, it was. Everybody, they had a little side pool about where we were going. And another little interesting thing that people might not realize is that we could only bring 10 pounds of tackle and 4 rods and reels and not know where you're going. So everybody kind of padded their strengths. You know, the spinnerbait anglers had more spinnerbaits than everything else. The worm fishermen had more worm weights than anything else. And I was fortunate enough that I never was a an expert of one thing, but always prided myself that I fished about everything that was out there, topwater, spinnerbait, worms, jigs, crankbaits, and I wanted on a little old quarter-ounce tandem spinnerbait.
Well, let's talk about, you know, back then, okay, you're fishing a tournament, Lake Mead, you got, you know, 35-horse motors, something like that, old boats, those kind of things, compared to today. You're out there in that great big lake, you got to think, man, oh, man, Ray, what'd you do to us?
Well, it was awing the first time I rolled out on Lake Mead. We fished out of inboard outboard 90 horsepower, and they were Rebel boats is what they were. And the first thing I did every morning of the tournament, we went out of a place called Las Vegas Marina, is that I drove 15 miles across the lake to the next marina, gassed up because we only had 12 gallons of gas, and then started my little old run. And I was just fishing little back ends of the canyons where I could find some cover. But it was, and I just kept saying, oh, man, what is this thing going to be like if the wind really, really blows? But we were very fortunate during the tournament that we had three bright, calm days for the event, and I was fortunate enough to come out on top.
Think about the time, okay, the Bassmaster Classic, and no one can take away from you that you won the first one. So, you know, when you look at the top 35 anglers, top 100 anglers of all time, your name has to be in there somewhere.
I was very pleased year before last when they announced the top 35 anglers of all time at the Classic that I was included in that. And, you know, it was not only for that particular, the first win. I won in my second Classic in 78 on Ross Barnett in Mississippi. And Bill Dance and Forrest Wood and Bob Pons and I won the only team event that BASS ever sponsored. And, you know, I won a couple other events during my tour out there. And it was just, being a professional angler is something that most young people aspire to do. With us, we grew up. I never aspired to be a professional angler. It just presented itself at the right time when I was I graduated from college in 69. And, man, I was on my way 7 months at 7 months after I graduated from college with Forrest and Bob and Bill, we won my first event, and I've been in the fishing industry all my life.
Well, you haven't shifted very many gears. You're still going at high speed because you've got people who fish now out there that's doing really, really well for you. Brother Billy, of course, twin brother, is out there with you doing those kind of programs. What else is in store for Bobby Murray?
Oh, we've got several things that we're doing. Commonwealth Productions is the production company that we're working with, and we've got a couple of new shows that's going to be coming along, both freshwater and saltwater. We're thrilled to be associated with Harold Knight and David Hale of Ultimate Hunting, and hopefully one of these days we'll get to maybe do a little hunting piece out there with those guys. And, you know, here's the ironic thing is that Billy and I are both, you know, fishing has been our livelihood and our true passion with us all our life, but we also love to hunt and spend every spare time we can get hunting. Harold and David are hunters and do the hunting show, and Harold, he'd rather fish than eat, so, I mean, we got to do some little cross things there because they're such neat guys, and we all love the outdoors, and we're all trying to, you know, promote the outdoors to young people as well as single parent families, whatever, because if you can get somebody interested in outdoors, you won't have to be looking for them at night. They'll be in the bed getting the rest so they can attack the outdoors tomorrow.
We get to laughing once in a while. You've always got plenty of work, but how would the money be now? You win two Bassmaster Classics, and with the money as it is today, wouldn't you like to be a young guy again?
Oh, I'd like to be out there competing with the young guys, but it is, you know, it is a young person sport. You got to be totally committed. I can remember the times when I was on the tournament trail and they said, oh, you can't go up the lake, it's too rough. And I said, well, I'm going to go up there and get back. I got to have the fish. But I had my 60th birthday last December, and I still enjoy fishing, and I'll fish when it's a little bit rough. But I don't go out there when it's 5 and 6 foot swells anymore.
Thanks for being with us, Bobby.